Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The best local sports talk in the Flower City. One Bills Live and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get caught up on all things Buffalo Bills. The guy writing for the Buffalo Bills at BuffaloBills.com. It's a pleasure to always welcome in Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com. Chris, how you been?
Doing okay, fellas. How you doing?
Oh, well, listen, the next time we'll see you, we got the news today about the training camp schedule out at St. John Fisher College. Chris, first glance, it doesn't look like they changed up all that much from last year's camp schedule.
Yeah, I know. I know some fans really appreciate the night practices, but I know Coach McDermott's a creature of habit and likes to keep his players on a specific schedule, so it looks like, you know, daytime is going to kind of rule the roost again this year.
Yeah, and I don't really have that much of an issue with the morning practices. I think last year a lot of fans were upset that when they showed up, they didn't know where the team was. They were kind of hiding back on that field behind the complex. And we noticed on the schedule this year, you've got a couple of practices listed there, three practices at Fisher, one at AdPro, closed to the general public. Is it safe to think that maybe those are the practices, if they're moving from field to field to field in order to kind of keep the fields from getting too torn up, that maybe those are the practices that'll be on that alternate field at Fisher?
I guess that's possible. I think some of those are also going to be of the shorter variety, from what I've heard. So I think they don't want fans to also go through all the trouble of, you know, parking in a satellite lot, riding a bus, getting there, and then practice is over in an hour, and then turning around and leaving. So I think that may be part of that aim as well.
Hey Chris, what is McDermott's preference with the grass fields over Groundy? Because we've seen other coaches. I mean, it's not like the old-fashioned AstroTurf at Groundy Stadium, but was there a reason given why we did not see the team on that field in the stadium last year?
Yeah, no reason given. My guess is that grass is a preferred surface to any kind of turf, and I think players would tell you the same. I suppose the only time where that could change is, you know, if the ground is baked so hard that grass starts to replicate turf. Mm-hmm. But I know that a lot of players do prefer the natural playing surface. They feel it's more forgiving on the joints. And when you're going every day, you're going to take whatever you can get to kind of keep your body in one piece.
Chris Brown, BuffaloBills.com, joining us in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Day two of minicamps today, Chris. We had heard from yesterday's practice that Nate Peterman looked like the best quarterback on the field. Hearing today that maybe it was A.J. McCarron looking like the best quarterback on the field. What are your eyes telling you? What can you tell us about the quarterback competition as it's going on now at minicamp?
Yeah, I mean, I think Peterman was the most consistent guy yesterday. Probably, I mean, I didn't keep track of it, but you know, my eyes were telling me he probably had the highest completion percentage of the three guys that were going through the rotation there. Made some good decisions with the ball. Showed great touch on a deep ball to Cam Phillips, an undrafted rookie. Dropped it right over his shoulder for a 40-yard touchdown. So he's handled himself well. But, you know, McCarron and Allen have had their moments too. I don't know if I would paint McCarron as the best guy today. He certainly had his share of plays. Allen probably had the wow plays of practice. I mean, he's rolling out to his right to avoid a rush, and he sees Rod Streeter streaking down the field on a deep post on the left side of the field and basically throwing into a 10 to 15 mile an hour breeze through a 50-yard pass on a rope to Rod Streeter for a completion, and it wasn't even a tight spiral. It wobbled all the way, and he just literally muscled it there. Hmm. There's nobody else on the roster that can do that. Simple as that. So, you know, now the task for Allen, I think, is to string more of the consistent 10 to 15 yard pass plays together, because that will provide greater assurance that he's capable of keeping an offense on the field. You know, the NFL, I mean, you hear it all the time, guys. You know, the NFL is about first downs, not touchdowns. And what coaches want to see is that consistency in the passing game to keep moving the sticks. You know, and then when you get to the red zone, all right, now let's make some hay here and put it in the end zone and score points.
Chris Brown, BuffaloBills.com. Chris, I'm going to ask you the question, knowing that there's a disclaimer that with the media during the OTAs, you don't get to see everything. But from what you saw of Allen during the OTAs without the ones, and now he's going against the first string defense, I'm just curious to get your thoughts on, are you seeing or noticing any difference, or how is he adapting to practicing against those ones?
Well, I mean, it's been limited. You know, he'll get a series here or a series there. He basically got two series yesterday. By my count, he got one today right at the start of practice in red zone. You know, did fairly well there. Third play from scrimmage today, he kind of rolls to his right, looks to the right side of the end zone, and then just quickly pivots and rips it back across the field to Jeremy Curley, who's running across the back of the end zone, hits him in stride for a touchdown. That was an impressive play. The very next play, he reads the play correctly, throwing a back shoulder throw to Charles Clay in the left side of the end zone. But the ball gets on Clay so fast that as he's turning his head around, it's already hitting his hand, and he just can't come up with the football fast enough. So I mean, he doesn't look like a fish out of water when he's gone in there with the ones. But it's a baby step. It's not a big step. So, you know, people shouldn't make too much of it. It's just part of the development plan that they have in place to bring him along at a pace that they believe he's capable of handling.
Chris, I'm sure you're tired of being asked, how's Allen look? It's probably the three words you've heard most since the draft. So we'll move on from the quarterbacks and talk about some of the other positional battles happening, including wide receiver. You mentioned Curley, who's been looking comfortable from all reports. Kelvin Benjamin, who's healthy. Talk about the rest of the wide receiving core for the Buffalo Bills. Who's competing? Who's standing out?
Yeah, I mean, I think Benjamin and Curley are clearly one and two right now. They've gotten the most time with the ones to this point. You know, other guys that are getting rotated through there are Brandon Riley, you know, who was a practice squad player last year for the most part before a late season call-up, Rod Streeter, and Andre Holmes. Those are the three main guys that have rotated through there. And then you get people sprinkled in from time to time, you know, whether it's a guy like Quan Bray, who has a return resume, but not a big NFL resume in terms of being a receiver. And then after that, it's largely guys running with the twos and threes. I mean, Ray McLeod got sprinkled in for a day yesterday, but we're talking three or four reps with the ones. Everything else has been with the twos and threes. So it's really a wide open slate. But Streeter had a good day today. You know, I think Cam Phillips, the undrafted free agent, has flashed, the Virginia Tech kid. Robert Foster from Alabama, the undrafted kid, has certainly flashed. Quite frankly, more so than Austin Prohl and Ray McLeod. And, you know, he's a kid who's well put together, you know, at 6'2", 200 pounds, runs like a deer, and gets behind the defense. I mean, he's made some every day he's had a big play. So he's done a good job of stacking days together. And, you know, I think if he continues on that path and continues to make progress, he's going to have a shot, you know, at the 53-man roster. Austin Prohl finally showed up today, had a nice touchdown in the back of the end zone. He's kind of had a tough go of it, getting separation on a consistent basis, but he also had a drop in the two-minute drill. So it's been kind of touch and go for him. McLeod's been given a lot of good opportunities. He made more plays in the OTAs than he has thus far the first 2 days of minicamp.
Chris Brown, BuffaloBills.com. Our guest from One Bills Drive is the Bills putting in another day here in the books. Minicamp will conclude after tomorrow's practice. So we talk about the camp battles, and everybody's going to be watching the quarterbacks, and the wide receiver camp battle is certainly interesting. What other camp battles, as we look ahead here at the St. John Fisher College at the end of next month, Chris, should you say Buffalo Bills fans should look out for?
Well, I mean, I think center is probably next on the list. I mean, it's going to be a two-horse race between Russell Bodine, the free agent signee, and Ryan Groy. Those two guys are alternating day by day here at the center position in minicamp, so we anticipate it'll be Groy tomorrow, since it was Groy on Tuesday, Bodine on Wednesday. You know, Bodine comes in here with 64 starts under his belt. That's nothing to sneeze at. So even though Groy is the taller and bulkier player, you know, which you may want to have in the middle of your line, Bodine has a lengthy resume. So, you know, I see that one going into the preseason games before decisions made there. I really thought that right tackle was going to be a position battle of sorts once they signed the veteran Marshall Newhouse at free agency, but it's been Jordan Mills almost exclusively as the starting right tackle. So whether there is any traction to a right tackle competition, I think, is still up in the air. Matt Milano looks to have a stranglehold on the strong side linebacker position with the veteran Ramon Humber behind him. I don't anticipate that flipping anytime soon. Milano's just a better athlete at this point in time, with Humber now 31 years of age. Capable player, but not the athlete that Milano is. So then you come down to nickel corner, and I think nickel corner will be a job that will have to be decided between Philip Gaines, the free agent signee from Kansas City, and the rookie fourth-round pick, Taron Johnson. Those two guys are going to be battling it out for the slot corner role. I think Johnson is the better athlete, but obviously Gaines has time in the league and will be leaning on his experience to hopefully help him win that job. But those are probably the top ones, and then we'll have some kick return and punt return competitions that will be multi-pronged with three and four players in the mix.
Chris Brown of BuffaloBills.com joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Chris, while we might not be sure how the quarterback situation on the offensive side of the ball shakes out, on the defensive side of the ball, it sure seems that the rookie is going to get his crack at middle linebacker. I mean, he's the quarterback on the defensive side of the ball. I'm curious as to how Tremaine Edmonds has been looking so far.
Looks comfortable for a 20-year-old. The kid's wise beyond his years, has no problem telling a 34-year-old Lorenzo Alexander what the check is and where he needs to line up. You know, I think people need to remember that this kid was literally raised on the game of football. You know, his father was a 10-year tight end in the league, coached his high school team. He had two older brothers that did nothing but football. This guy was studying film with his dad of his high school games as a 15-year-old and learned the pro way to study film. I mean, he didn't just watch what he was doing. He watched what the whole defense was doing. He was scouting future opponents. So he comes in here as a 20-year-old with probably a 30-year-old football mind. That's going to help him immensely. And I think going into training camp, the starting middle linebacker job is his to lose. I mean, he's an athletic freak. He's a head taller than everybody else in linebacker. He's got arms that go for days. He runs like a 4.49. So, I mean, just a stupid athlete with very gifted football IQ. So yeah, I fully expect him to be the starting middle linebacker for this team week one. I'll be shocked if he's not.
Well, Chris, when we talk about that, and I'm sure fans are getting excited hearing that, the Bills' defense was pretty good last year, but then I recall games like New Orleans where, gosh, they couldn't stop anything going up the middle. And when you have a Lutulele and Edmonds now, what is the potential for this defense overall this year as compared to last year?
I think it will be a lot better. I'll be very surprised if, you know, as an overall team defense, they're not in the top half of the league. I kind of envision them somewhere between 10 and 15 in terms of an overall yards against ranking. I think their pass rush will take a jump up. It really can't go any lower. Their run defense, guys, if you look at it, and I talked to Lorenzo Alexander about this at length, he said, really, we just had a three-week disaster against the run last year. And it was those 3 weeks that you referenced where they just got run over and blown out of the water. You're talking about New Orleans, Chargers, and then I think even the Jets.
The week before New Orleans, yeah.
So, I mean, those 3 weeks were a disaster. You look at their ranking before that week, they were 12th against the run in the league. And then they plummeted to the bottom. And making up for that with only like six games to play, it's hard to get back up in the ranking. So, you know, they finished down in the high 20. in run defense. They believe that the three-week hiccup can be fixed, and now they've got better personnel to put on the field on top of it. I think the biggest difference between Tremaine Edmonds and Preston Brown is Preston Brown's a steady player, a reliable player, but he's not a playmaker, if you know what I'm getting at. Preston Brown's going to lead the team in tackles, but almost all of his tackles are going to be 3-4 yards down the field. Mm-hmm. Tremaine Edmonds is going to make plays behind the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage. He's going to make interceptions, sacks. He's going to be a difference maker. That's the change there. And then with Latulale at defensive tackle, you have a guy who's better equipped to do the dirty work, loves to do the dirty work. You're going to get 100% effort out of him. You're not going to wonder what you're going to get from him on Sunday, much like you did with Marcell Dareus. It's just a better fit overall and will allow Kyle Williams to operate in more one-on-one situations, Jerry Hughes in more one-on-one situations, Shaq Lawson in more one-on-one situations, and that should all cater to a better pass rush overall, too. I'm not saying they're going to be in the top 10 in sacks, but, boy, I think they're certainly going to be around 40 to 45 this year.
Chris Brown of BuffaloBills.com, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia here on ESPN Rochester. Chris, we're talking about an improved defense. And I know that there's a lot of football between now and week one. There's a lot of camp battles. There's a lot of preseason action. There's a lot of things that need to be determined. Vegas has the over-under at 6.5 wins for this team in 2018. And I also know that we were having a very similar conversation last year at this very time. A team ended up making the playoffs, granted, you know, with a little bit of luck on their side. You know, the people that are writing for the NFL, the people that are making their way too early predictions, most of them are taking the under when you mention the 6.5 wins for the over-under for the Buffalo Bills this year. I'm just curious, as somebody who watches this team as closely as you do, how can you justify taking the over if you're a Buffalo Bills fan?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can yet, because, and I think this is why the number is where it is and why a lot of people are taking the under. It's the fear of the unknown. You don't know who your quarterback is, so it's hard to understand how this offense is going to function and what its potential truly is. Nobody knows what Brian Daboll has planned. So I think you take those two. I mean, what are the two things you need to know about how a team's going to function on offense? You need to know who the quarterback is and what kind of offense they're running. Nobody knows the answer to those two questions.
Yeah.
So I don't, and I think the reason the national pundits and the bookmakers have the numbers so low is because who do you have at quarterback on this team who's got proven track record in the NFL? No one. I mean, A.J. McCarron's played in probably 11 games, made 4 starts, including one in the playoffs. That's not a big resume. Nathan Peterman, you know, has 2 starts in his NFL career, and Josh Allen has 0. So you can't say it's going to be rainbows and pixie sticks on offense because you just don't know. And so what do people generally do? They take the pessimistic route, which is the complete opposite of how this team functions, and says, we just don't know, so let's take under 6.5. Now, if you want to take the over, I think that's hard, too, because you don't have those same answers. I mean, you want to believe in this team as a fan and believe they're going to win 9-10 games again? Well, that's great, but let's watch and see a little more and see what unfolds in training camp in the preseason before we get all pumped up. I really believe the defense is going to be decidedly better this year, and I think that's certainly going to help the offense. But I think there's a lot that has to still unfold on the offensive side of the ball before anybody knows, good or bad, how it's going to shake out. I will say this. The NFL schedule makers certainly didn't do the Bills any favors. Right. I mean, 5 of your first game, 7 games on the road, are you kidding me? Like, what the hell is that? So that is not going to help the equation, I think. Because, you know, if you find winning games on the road difficult at the beginning of the year when your offense is trying to gain some traction, well, then, yes, it could prove to be difficult this season. At Baltimore, never an easy game. At Minnesota, are you kidding me, in week 3? And then at Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers can pull a rabbit out of a hat whenever he feels like it. So, I mean, those are your first 3 road games. Hello? You know, and then you've got Houston with Deshaun Watson back, J.J. Watt back in the lineup on defense, it's not going to be easy. So I think, you know, oddsmakers look at that and say, I don't like the sound of that either. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but I think there's just too many unknowns to accurately peg, yeah, the Bills are going to be better than 9-7 last year, or no way in heck they're going to be because of that schedule. You just don't know. The NFL is a week-to-week league, guys. You know, you could say, oh, my God, how are they going to beat Green Bay in week four on the road? Well, what if Aaron Rodgers breaks his leg in a Monday night game in week three?
Sure.
Things are dramatically different. So it's a week-to-week league, guys. I don't get into these over-unders and how many wins and this, that, and the other. There's so many unanswered questions right now with the Bills going to training camp. We got to get those answers first before anybody can have a semblance of an idea as to what's going to happen.
Chris Brown, BuffaloBills.com, our guest here as the camp schedule announced today. Chris, before we let
you
go.
Sorry about that rant, guys. I was rambling there.
No, I mean,
you got me all fired up about that.
Chris, we have your rant on Anquan Boldin from last year. We should pull that out at some point. That was the rant of rants. We'll get you on during camp in our palatial setup up there. Chris, what are you working on right now at BuffaloBills.com that people should know about?
Well, we'll have our daily report on minicamp, you know, the five things that we learned today, a couple of things that I already mentioned here on your program, but a lot to chew on the bone there. And then, you know, we've got our daily Bills today, so anything that ends up on the cutting room floor as far as stuff we're observing from the practice field shows up there. And we're going to have a nice long-form piece on Harrison Phillips early next week, just a kind of a deep dive into the person that he is. And I'm telling you guys,
he's impressive.
Be a perfect fit for this team.
Yeah, he's impressive.
He's a perfect fit for this team. He's just cut from the same cloth as Coach McDermott, and not just because of the wrestling background, but for a whole host of reasons. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's going to buy in immediately and be a contributor, it's going to be Harrison Phillips. The dude's a beast and just loves this game to the hilt. So it'll be a really good story. I talked to his mom. There's going to be some good stuff in there, so be on the lookout for that on Monday.
That's great. Can't wait. I mean, we had the chance to talk to Phillips, and I was impressed by his background. I was impressed by his work ethic. He's impressive. He's impressive, and yeah.
He's a grinder.
We might find that you know, down the road, that he might have been the steal of this draft. That you know, the Bills taking him where they did, you know, might have been genius. You know, that's the hope at least. But it's hard to not see him as anything but impressive after you have that conversation. And we look forward to reading that piece at BuffaloBills.com. The great Chris Brown joining us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. We always appreciate your time, Chris. We know how busy you are. Thanks for all the work you're doing there at One Bills Drive, and look forward to talking to you at training camp.
Yeah, we'll see you in about 6 weeks, but give me my short summer break first here, all right, fellas?
You got it, buddy. We'll leave you alone for a little bit. Right. Really appreciate it. Chris Brown, BuffaloBills.com, joining us here in the sports bar.
Yeah, and if you missed any of that, we'll have that up on our website, ESPNRochester.com, quarterback competition, wide receiver competition, the center is a two-man race, nickel. Corner position. That is, there's a lot of jobs up for grabs at camp for the Buffalo Bills coming up in late July and early August.
All right, let's get to NFL appetizers next in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Gino, you know how provincial we are here in Rochester. Any mention of Rochester has to be news. It has to be our lead story. And it involves Mike Pereira and Mike Pereira's foundation, the Battlefields to Ballfields program. We talked to our buddy Rich Donnelly about that a couple of weeks ago. Mike Pereira was scheduled to talk about this on one of the networks and just mysteriously had his appearance pulled.
What?
Mike Pereira, also the ex-head of officiating for the NFL, so he knows a thing or two about the rules of the NFL. We'll get into what Pereira tweeted out today and their little Rochester connection there. And also, a running back getting signed by the New Orleans Saints. Okay. We'll get into that as well. Day's top stories in bite-sized form from around the National Football League. Stand by for appetizers in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader.
ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.